Hello, good morning and welcome. Actually, good evening and welcome. Sorry for getting today's episode out a bit late, but we are back with episode 184. First, a quick shout out, though, to Harry Campbell over at the RSG podcast. That's Rideshare Guy podcast. If you don't remember, I've mentioned Harry's podcast to you in the past and for good reason. It is absolutely fantastic if you are into or at least interested in anything and everything about the ride-sharing economy. Definitely be sure to check it out. He's been doing this show since 2014. He's got something like 200 five-star ratings over on Apple Podcasts, and for good reason. He's talked to something like 50,000 ride-hail drivers and gig workers over the past 7 years, and he may be the only person to have ever both driven for Uber and interviewed their CEO. Anyway, definitely check out the Rideshare Guy podcast. Give it a listen and drop him 5 stars while you're there. Today's episode is brought to you by The Information. More about this fantastic tech news journal and how I can hook you up at 75% off your first month. So today, autonomous vehicles will soon all be electric. Delivery bots are now recognized as pedestrians and a bit of a thing about Tesla. All this right now. All right, so this is, I think, one of the most potentially impactful, and I think certainly one of the most important things for, like, everything, for the automotive world, for climate, for the environment, for the future of technology, for the future of sustainability, for the future of, frankly, the economy that I've heard about in quite some time. And I know I tend to sometimes do a bit of a thing with hyperbole now and then, but I am being quite sincere when I say that this is a big deal. So it turns out that back in February, there was a bill introduced into the California state legislature. The idea is that by 2025, all autonomous vehicles in California will need to be zero emission. That's right, electric, or I suppose presumably hydrogen fuel cell electric. But the point is they cannot have a tailpipe from which is expelled any sort of obnoxious gases and things like carbon monoxides and nitrous oxides and all that sort of stuff. I guess you can have a tailpipe to emit water vapor, of course, if you're a hydrogen fuel cell, but yeah, you get the point. All autonomous vehicles must be electric. If you're autonomous, then it must be the case that you're electric. So this is a really big deal. And if it sounds somewhat familiar, yeah, it's because you'll remember we talked about this a bit a few weeks ago. Actually, the way time is flying, this may have been before the holiday break. I don't even remember now. But, you know, California's Governor Newsom has announced that by 2035, the idea is that all new vehicles sold in California must be electric. To be clear, just to be super clear here, this doesn't mean that used car sales that are non-electric can't continue, just that new car sales inside the state of California must be electric by 2035. And now what we're hearing is that by 2025, yeah, just 4 years from now, all autonomous vehicles need to be electric. This is tremendously huge. Here's why. So you've certainly heard me say many times over the past 3 years of doing this podcast, nearly 200 episodes now, over and over again, that any automaker not developing autonomous and electric cars by 2030 will be dead or dying. You know, I've been saying this for years. I think I've actually even been saying this before the podcast when I was still writing my blog, Innovately, the sort of spiritual predecessor to this podcast. And I started that back in, I want to say 2015 or so. And I've stood by that time frame, and lo and behold, look what's happening, at least in California, you know, 2025. And indeed, all vehicles, new vehicles, by 2035. So the time frame is kind of right in keeping with what I've anticipated and certainly what I've hoped for. But at a more holistic level, this syncs up perfectly with a thing that we've discussed also many times in the past, this notion that it's not just from a business sense that all automakers must be doing autonomous and electric vehicles, but also from a sustainability sense, from a practical reality sense for urban design, and indeed just for we humans of our American cities, and indeed cities around the world eventually, it must be the case that we have autonomous electric vehicles only. In fact, there is a very famous acronym, ACES, right? Stands for Autonomous, Connected, Electric, and Crucially Shared. And we've talked a lot about these various components to an autonomous vehicle future. You know, we've often said it must be the case that such a future is autonomous, it must be electric, it must be connected, meaning the cars have to have some sort of vehicle-to-vehicle or vehicle-to-infrastructure connectivity. And crucially, and somewhat weirdly less obviously discussed, they must be shared, because obviously the last thing you want is a bunch of empty pod cars buzzing about. And to that point, this is why it's so critically important they be electric, right? Because, well, two main reasons, right? So first of all, imagine you've got a bunch of cars buzzing about, because make no mistake, they will be rolling essentially all the time. Whether privately owned or commercially owned, that is with fleets, it must be the case that these things keep rolling in the same way that an airplane keeps flying, right? Because every time a plane is grounded for any reason, it is literally bleeding money. It'll be the same thing with autonomous cars. You're going to need to keep these things rolling so they essentially pay for themselves. If they're not rolling, and frankly, if they're not obviously carrying passengers around, they are losing money. So, but because the premise is that they will be able to drive around and indeed carry passengers, they won't be parked, 99% of the time, well, that's a lot more miles being driven, isn't it? And so that's a lot of extra pollution being emitted if these, in fact, were allowed to remain as gasoline-powered. So that doesn't require too much stretch of an imagination. I think that makes perfectly good sense, right? But the other reason why this matters so much, you've got to realize that once people get used to this notion of just, well, two things really, right? First of all, this notion that traffic doesn't really matter anymore, which is sort of a double-edged sword, obviously. It's the whole sort of adding lanes to a freeway. If you add more lanes, more people are going to drive. If if sitting in traffic is no longer a hassle, you're just going to do it anyway, which then further compounds the traffic and sort of a snowball effect, right? So first of all, traffic won't be a problem, and so people are more likely to be okay sitting in traffic, not least of which because they're going to be supremely comfortable in the back seat, kind of all lounged out, as it were, taking a nap, reading a book, getting work done, probably getting other things done too. And so the point is there's going to be a lot more miles driven, right? So the average miles consumed by vehicles, by people getting from A to B, if not for work, then just simply for pleasure, just because they can, because it's so easy, this is going to skyrocket. If this sounds at all familiar, yeah, we've kind of touched on this in the past, and more crucially, or more specifically, I guess, at least with anecdotal evidence, we've already seen this happening. I personally have attested to this, that my wife and I certainly tend to drive more frequently and indeed further with our Tesla, just because autopilot, for all of its faults, flaws, and failings, is certainly better than not having it. And it just, yeah, it makes traffic less of a thing, so we're more willing to go further more often. But also because we've talked a bit in the past about how, yeah, in the UK, for instance, it's apparently the case that owners of Tesla vehicles do drive further and more frequently. So we know this is going to happen. So obviously it must be the case that we offset this reality by mandating that such vehicles be electric. I mean, like, literally there's no argument that could be made that would hold any water. It must be the case, right? So, I don't know, in the same way that it had to be the case that all vehicles had, catalytic converters, for instance, or couldn't use unleaded gasoline. Same thing, right? This is just like common sense. I'm just super impressed that this bill has even been introduced in the first place, and I am really excited. I really hope it passes, because it's just such a big deal. I mean, you can hear the enthusiasm, the excitement. I'm sort of almost at a loss for words here, because this really needs to happen. So, yeah. So, look, if you have any alternative thoughts to any of this, please feel free to reach out. If you want to debate the heck out of this with me, hey, by all means, bring it on. Hey, did you ever wonder by how much home internet usage blew up last year during the pandemic? Try a whopping 69%. Or what about SPACs? You ever wonder by how much they spiked last year? A lot. They went from basically no deals to like 220-ish deals, totaling almost $80 billion. How do I know all this? Because the information. Yeah, you've heard me talk about them quite a bit over the last few episodes, and with good reason. It is quite possibly the finest tech news journal that I've ever discovered, full stop. They just do incredibly deep dive investigative journalism. They've got all sorts of fantastic events, like last October's AV Vehicle Summit that many of you would have loved. They've got a Women in Tech Summit, and they've got an incredible community of high-powered execs and thought leaders that you can kind of tap into. So I'm going to tell you how you can get 75% off your first month. It's pretty easy, really. All you have to do is head on over to theinformation.com/hoag. That's theinformation.com/HOAG. So apparently in Pennsylvania, about which you've heard me speak quite fondly in the past, I've often said that Pittsburgh is sort of becoming the epicenter of all things autonomous vehicles. I've said that both Pittsburgh and Detroit, I should say, are really going to see a real renaissance here in America, thanks to autonomous and electric vehicles in a really big way. I think it's quite exciting. And well, I mean, kind of taking steps in the direction to kind of solidify, or I should say lead, the rest of the country and indeed the world towards this autonomous future. Well, Pennsylvania has now just declared that autonomous delivery robots, or droids as I like to call them, because of course, well, they are now recognized as pedestrians. Yeah, that's right. A new law in the state of Pennsylvania has just gone into effect, declaring that delivery drones, droids or bots or whatever you want to call them, they have the right to operate on city sidewalks, and to protect them effectively, they are being classified as pedestrians. This is very cool, right? This is super cool. I mean, it's not that Pennsylvania is the first state to allow these things on the sidewalks in the first place. So DC does this, certain towns in Silicon Valley do this, like Mountain View, I guess, and I want to say maybe Sunnyvale. Certainly Mountain View does. But this is definitely the first that I've heard that they're recognized as pedestrians. So if you can hear me kind of grinning, it's because I do find it somewhat amusing, but in a really good way. I mean, effectively then what this is doing, this is giving a certain degree of legal rights, of non-human legal rights. The thing that's going through my mind is this notion of non-human persons, like, for example, great apes and chimps and dolphins, say, and how they deserve certain basic non-human person rights. This is sort of kind of like that. We're effectively giving these things rights, which makes sense. I mean, obviously, it's a bit of semantics, right? I mean, especially if you're talking about a remotely operated drone. I mean, really, you're just saying that a remote control vehicle is essentially a pedestrian, but so what? All that matters is the end result. And by doing this, It's accomplishing a few things, right? First, it's kind of helping to ensure that these things aren't interfered with, because one of the questions that's been talked about, like ad nauseum, since I got into this whole AV space was this absurd desire to launch a barrage of questions against everybody, saying, well, what happens if somebody messes with an AV, gets in the way, you know, tries to obstruct its path or whatever? And I don't know, what do we do today if somebody gets in the way of a train? Well, either they get run over, or they also get in trouble for trespassing on the track, I suppose. I don't know. Same thing with these delivery droids, right? So specifically, here's how it breaks down. So I guess the legal limits for delivery droids in Pennsylvania have a top speed of 12 miles per hour in a pedestrian area, and then 25 miles per hour on a roadway. And they can only weigh up to 550 pounds. And so by adding this layer of legal protection of sorts, it does more than just introduce the option to operate these. It's more than just a permissive thing telling companies, hey, look, you can do this on sidewalks, and oh yeah, by the way, we're going to recognize you as a thing. It does more than that, right? It also, at least implicitly, lets the public take these things seriously, frankly. You know, I'm trying to think of an analogy here. It's sort of like, it's sort of like at the airport. If you see a TSA police dog, right? And I don't know if you ever noticed they have those, like, they're wearing like a little dog vest or a dog jacket thing, which says something like, service dog, do not pet or don't interact with or whatever. You know, it's like literally recognized as a member of the police force, and arguably rightfully so. And by doing that, it's kind of making everybody around recognize it very seriously, take it very, very seriously, right? So they're not going to just like, oh, cute little dog, and try to go pet it. They're like, nope, this is effectively a police officer. Don't mess with it. It's the same thing here. It's like, this law is basically, like I say, it's more than just being a mechanism of permissiveness to companies to run these things, to operate these things on the sidewalks. It's a very strong, albeit implicit, mechanism that'll get society to really, well, I suppose if not to embrace, then certainly to recognize these droids as what they are, which is legitimate additions to our ever-changing society. You know, once upon a time, we humans had to get used to the idea of these exhaust-belching first-generation automobiles intermingling with us on roads amongst our horses and carriages. And now we've got to get used to these things too. So I'm super excited about this. I think this is fantastic. And by the way, somehow I actually missed this. It turns out that the reason we don't have these things in San Francisco is that, you know, which is obviously where you'd expect to find them, right? Although, but for the hills, I don't know how they do with such steep hills here and there. But back in 2017, San Francisco actually banned most of these things. And it kind of makes you wonder, right? What if instead of banning them, they just effectively gave them more and better rights? I can hear the cynics amongst you now saying, yeah, but Mark, look, San Francisco can't even keep their drugstores from being broken into. I mean, how are they? Also, to be honest, look what happened with the micromobility solutions, like all the scooters. I'm really not trying to say this cynically, right? But like, this is a very real problem. San Francisco is literally the only city in the world that have been where the scooters, you know, like Bird and, well, I'm totally drawing a blank now. Bird and I think Lyft have their own scooters and, you know, Lime, right? It's the only city I've been to in the world where these scooters actually have padlocks on them. And you have to use the app to unlock the lock. I've never seen this in any city in the world. I'm sure they exist in other cities in the world. I've just never seen it. And I've been to a lot of the world. And I've seen these scooters and I've used these scooters in many, many cities in the world, all over the US, all over Europe. But yeah, San Francisco, you need to unlock a lock. And I'm not saying, I'm really not saying this cynically or even, you know, sarcastically or whatever. I'm just saying it's a really big problem. And on the one hand, I think that these, if there were similar laws in SF, it would have really benefited these droids, drones, delivery bots, whatever. But on the other hand, I guess there's only so much you could do if laws aren't properly enforced. But anyway, look, I think this is fantastic stuff out of Pennsylvania. I'm going to try to reach out to folks in Pittsburgh. And actually, I do know some folks in Pittsburgh. And I know that the mayor himself, Mayor Bill Petuto, has been hugely outspoken in favor of all things AV, obviously with everything, you know, CMU has been doing out there. Again, tons of momentum in the AV space. I would love to get some more insight into, you know, people's thoughts about this new law for pedestrian, the recognition of droids on the sidewalks. And hopefully I'll be able to share some of this with you in the near future. All right, so I sort of hesitate to talk about Tesla very frequently in any sort of obviously optimistic, positive light. You know, on the one hand, all the Tesla fanboys and girls, of course, they love what I have to say, but then, and frankly, they don't really say much at all because they obviously already agree. But on the flip side, everybody else who just wants to badmouth Tesla, they just get all up in arms and I never hear the end of it. I'm not going to single anybody out, but suffice to say, I've learned to sort of keep my mouth shut a little bit from time to time. This, however, is not one of those times because this is something worthy of mention. And to be honest, I'm not really sure what to make of it. You may have heard of this by now. A lot of folks are basically just eviscerating Elon and Tesla for some documentation that Tesla sent over to the, I believe, to the California DMV. And the issue surrounds the development of an eventual deployment of FSD beta, full self-driving beta. Kind of what are the future plans for it? So, before diving in to discuss it, let me just read you this verbatim. There's a question from the DMV which says, please describe and provide any relevant documentation reflecting Tesla's intended functionality for the final release of FSD, that's full self-driving, city streets to the general public. Specifically, which of the limitations associated with the OEDR, that's object and event detection and response, described in the letter dated November 20, 2020, will continue to be part of the final release of FSD City Streets to the general public. So here is Tesla's response. Ready? While the current pilot version of City Streets is still in a validation and review stage, we expect the functionality to remain largely unchanged in a future full release to the customer fleet. We are analyzing the data obtained in the pilot and using it to refine the features, operation, and customer experience. We will continue to make refinements as necessary, and only after we are fully satisfied with performance, integrity, and safety will we release the future to the customer fleet. That said, we do not expect significant enhancements in OEDR or other changes to the feature that would shift the responsibility for the entire DDT, that's dynamic driving task, to the system. As such, a final release of City Streets will continue to be an SAE Level 2 Advanced Driver Assistance feature. So, yeah. There you have it. Except you don't really, because if you just kind of listen to all the stuff, I'm trying to use an ambiguous word choice here, neither good stuff nor garbage stuff, just stuff, kind of flowing through the Twitter sphere lately from certain individuals, you will just sort of conclude that so be it, that's it. Tesla's full of crap, and basically they have no idea what they're doing, and obviously they've conned all of us, and FSD is nothing but fluff. Indeed, it is never going to be full self-driving because, look, they just said as much. It is going to continue to be an SAE Level 2 Advanced Driver Assistance feature. There you have it, right? That's just not what I'm reading here, actually. I agree that for the short term, the interim, it is indeed going to continue to be an SAE Level 2 feature. Yes. But I don't think that was ever in question. That was never doubted. That was never up for debate. This is kind of what everyone expected. Eventually, indeed, as actually the response goes on, right? So please note that Tesla's development of true autonomous features, SAE levels 3+, will follow our iterative process, development, validation, early release, etc. And any such features will not be released to the general public until we have fully validated them and received any required regulatory permits or approvals. So is it just saying, I think, a pretty logical, honest, transparent thing, which is that for the time being, FSD beta is effectively level 2. And by the way, isn't this kind of exactly what they need to say? Why on earth would any company ever, no matter what, say that their thing is a thing which it isn't quite yet? I mean, this is like the easiest way to open a door, or I should say a pit in the floor to a lawsuit catastrophe, right? I mean, put it this way. At least in the U.S., everybody outside the U.S. is going to find this absurd. And no offense to anybody with peanut allergies, but it is kind of absurd that on a jar of peanut butter, it says caution may contain nuts. I mean, no kidding? Same thing here. We've got a thing which is obviously in beta. It's obviously still being developed. And Tesla are just saying, look, we don't want anybody to consider it to be more than what it might be capable of. So let's just kind of, if ever there was an example of kind of under promise and over deliver, this is surely it. They don't want anybody to treat this as more than level 2. Why would they? It is literally still in development. That's literally actually what Tesla is saying, that they're going to continue to develop the autonomous features, SAE levels 3+, following the iterative process, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, and unless and until that occurs, by all means, treat this thing as level 2. I mean, how stupid would it be for Tesla to respond to the DMV and say, yep, hey, by the way, this is a level 4 system, end of story? This would be idiotic. So look, of course it's still level 2. I don't think anybody ever thought otherwise, or alternatively, if they did, frankly, that's on them. It's sort of like, I don't know, it's like somebody suing a manufacturer because they burned themselves on a stove and because the stove didn't have a warning saying warning may get hot in use. I mean, this is just stupid. I am not suggesting for a second that we need to be flippant about anything involving regulatory matters, but to pick on a response like this, which suggests that Tesla is somehow deceiving everybody. You know, there's a lot of folks out there saying, oh, hey, ha, you guys spent $7,000 to add FSD. You guys added $8,000. Nowadays, they're adding $10,000 to add full self-driving capabilities on the future promise of getting actually full self-driving. So my wife and I, we got in at $8,000. My parents got in at $7,000, I guess. And now folks are dropping $10,000 to add this feature set. Sometime this year, it's anticipated it's actually not going to be a thing you can buy outright as an option, but rather a thing that you have to pay a subscription fee. And if you do the math, it's likely to cost something on the order of at least $100 a month. And so everyone's just like having a field day joking, like, oh, see, look, Tesla conned everybody. And this is just complete garbage. Well, the argument is garbage, and it's just wrong. So that's kind of all I have to say about that. Yes, today, and indeed for the immediate future, full self-driving beta, or whatever you want to call it, beta or not, will indeed be just a very good level 2 system. But that's okay. Eventually, it will be more than level 3, and indeed level 4. I've said for quite some time that I think Tesla will for sure reach level 4, and possibly even level 5, between about 2025 to 2028. I'm willing to go as far as 2030, but that's about it. So I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to brace myself, flame suit and all, for all the likely flack I'm going to get from this. But I am genuinely curious what everybody thinks, although I think I know where it's going to go. And that's all I've got to say about that. And on that bombshell, thank you so much for listening. That is a wrap. I'll see you back here on Friday. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. Bye-bye.